No, I listen to it all the time. I tell all my friends to smack it raw.
Podcast contains mature content. The views and opinions expressed by the host are not necessarily those of the host. Listener discretion is advised. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Return to Wrestling, the podcast that goes back in time to when sports entertainment was still just pro wrestling. I am your host, the Warden Matt Ritter. I'm back with my co-host, Sir Cuss-a-Lot Travis Pointer, aka the Dragon King, aka Big T, aka Sweet T, aka T Money, aka Black Merlin, aka the HNIC.
What's that?
Please ignore the fact that everything looks completely different from the last time you saw us. That is an illusion and not important. We are still here, picking up where we left off, talking about WCW 1996, and you are joining us through this fucking shit show of a journey. Travis is dragging me along.
Oh, please. You watch AEW every week. I don't want to hear that nonsense.
Literally nothing in AEW or any wrestling I've ever seen is as bad as Kevin Sullivan. This is my new Dean Malenko.
They just killed Kevin Sullivan, so you know.
This is my new Dean Malenko. I absolutely despise Kevin Sullivan.
But he hates Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I know. And you'd think that I could get behind a guy that hates Hulk Hogan, but he's worse than Hulk Hogan.
Oh, man, my favorite part, like these last few episodes we watched, was this promo he was doing. I think it was at Great American Bash. And, like, for some reason, he was, like, looking down here. Like, wasn't even looking at the camera. Like, he's looking over here like this. Like, what the fuck are you looking at, bro?
The guy's a fucking idiot. I can't stand him.
Man.
Real quick, I want to get one thing out of the way that I thought was very important, especially to you, Travis. We found out in these episodes that Eric Bischoff has no idea who Bone Thugs is.
I missed that. What happened?
I believe someone referenced Bone Thugs and Harmony, and it just went completely over Eric Bischoff's head. That, or when I originally made this note, I had listened to his podcast
83 weeks. I think I remember that
something
happening on 83 weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were covering
Conrad
something.
Was talking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
He had no idea.
Yeah. He had no idea. I remember that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought I also saw it on the show, and that's what reminded me.
Maybe
something at the opening. But we start back at May 20th, 1996. We open up with a recap from Slamboree, which was the last thing we covered here on this show. And Ric Flair's just pissing everyone off because, like, as we go through the weeks, basically, Ric Flair is fucking Kevin Sullivan's wife. Ric Flair is fucking kayfabe Macho Man's wife / girlfriend, and now also trying to fuck Mongo's wife.
Is she still Kevin Sullivan's wife at this point, or has she moved on to Benoit?
She has not moved on to Benoit at this point.
Speaking of which, I'm watching this, like, just because, like, it just popped into my head as I'm watching how many of these people are no longer with us.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
Like, hold on. I think I made a note of, like, all the ones that, like, just stood out to me. Like, yeah, Randy Savage, Bobby Heenan, Miss Elizabeth, woman, or, you know, Benoit / Kevin Sullivan's wife there. Ray Traylor, the Big Boss Man, Dusty Rhodes, Benoit. Kevin Green just died this past December. Like, fuck. I mean, he wasn't on this show, but, you know, Hulk Hogan, you know. I'm just assuming somebody's killed him by now.
But no, they haven't, because if they had, I would know, because we did a John, Caroline, me, Kate, and Eric are doing a Deathpool this year, And Hulk Hogan is on my Deadpool. Mm. So is Lex Luger and Vince McMahon.
I keep forgetting that Lex is still alive.
He does not look it. Let me tell you. He is looking rough as shit.
I expected him to go very soon after Elizabeth, but it didn't happen.
Yeah. No, Rick's just pissing everyone off. Nobody likes Ric Flair. He's pissing everyone off.
Arn does. Bobby Heenan does.
Yeah, those are about the only two people. Arn, Bobby Heenan, and then all of the women he's pleasuring.
Yeah.
But all of the other men in WCW, not a big fan. Macho hates them. Like,
they get to ride Space Mountain, baby.
Yeah, I guess it's a fun ride no matter how many times you ride it. We have the Steiners versus Fire and Ice. So this is like a weird feud that's on again, off again, all the way up to fucking Great American Bash that had no value for me whatsoever. This match ended by count out. Then we'll like go back to it. Then we'll get some singles matches. And then we'll have this match. And they try and play it off like it's a big deal. I don't give a fuck about Fire and Ice or the Steiners as a tag team at this point. Like,
yo, until the Steiners, like, I've always been one of my favorite tag teams. Like, even if you just looking back, it's one of those things. Another thing about what we're doing now is looking back at where these people, you know, these different wrestlers came from. Like, yo, that's Big Papa Pump. Like,
I was gonna say, that's what I'm gonna start caring again, is when he's Big Papa Pump and he's entertaining me. Like, don't get me wrong, in ring, these guys are rough as shit and the shit looks legit. Like, Rick and Scott do not fuck around. They're laying their shit in.
Not at all. Now, but Fire and Ice, because Scott Norton, he keeps trying these big power spots and blowing it. Like the thing with having somebody big jump off the top rope and he, like, quote, catches them, but doesn't ever really catch them.
Yeah.
They have to, like, literally, like, touch the ground so he can, like, get his footing set, and they get set, and then he picks them back up. But
did they ever say why Scott Norton is fire? Like, I know Ice is Ice Train, so that makes sense.
He's just always worn that gear with the fire on it.
Okay.
That's the extent of it.
Okay. That's old. Because so does Harlem Heat. So
that's like that old WCW shit. But yeah. You said the same with Harlem Heat. They wear fire on their gear. Neither one of their names have anything to do with Heat.
Yeah. True. Highlight of this show was Eddie versus Ric Flair. Of course, Ric Flair goes over Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, but still a great match, though.
It was. And then we got Flair doing an interview about Macho Man, where he is taunting Macho Man because he is banging Macho Man's girl, and there's nothing Macho Man can do about it. Macho Man basically loses his shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like when, you know, they try to do that with Rusev and Bobby Lashley. In a storyline that we all try to forget.
Yeah, except Rusev nowhere near Macho Man lost his shit. Yeah. It would have been so much better for Rusev had he gone full Macho Man.
Yeah. That's what
I feel like you never would have gone full Macho Man.
What I was saying. Like when it was happening, I'm like, yo, this was done better 20 years ago in WCW. But anyway, go ahead.
Like, I feel like you never want to go full Macho Man should be a saying, but like in this case, you want to go full Macho Man.
Yeah, you definitely want to go full Macho Man in this scenario.
They've also set up like a fucking banquet ringside for Ric Flair and woman.
Why not?
And he does commentary from there on occasion, like just a table with all of the shit. And then I also put in my notes, Debbie does the Nature Boy as opposed to Debbie does Dallas.
Yeah, they definitely referenced that. And when that popped into my head too, like, oh, we got the Debbie Does Dallas reference here. Okay. Yeah.
Faces of Fear lose to Sting and Luger. I can't believe how poorly they used motherfucking Ming and the Barbarian.
Like, yeah.
If you have two guys that are this fucking legit, how do you not push them to the moon?
Because, man, that's this is gonna sound like I'm kissing his ass, but that's part of that pre-Bischoff WCW shit. Like, when you don't have somebody who knows how to do stuff with story, you know, you just, things like that get thrown by the wayside.
Yeah. Macho Man can't get into the building, and WCW is working on deciding his fate, whether or not he's going to continue to work. He is all pissed off, blah, blah, blah. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Armstrong, part of the famous Armstrong family, most notably related to Brian Armstrong, who everyone knows is either Road Dogg or BG James, depending on when you started watching wrestling. And if it's BG James, you're too fucking young to be listening to the show.
Because you don't remember this anyway.
Yeah.
Losers, but you can watch along with us and, you know, come, you know, hear what we have to say about it, because it's a good lesson for you, because you get to see where a lot of what you love about wrestling came from. All you AEW fans out there that love those, you know, those smaller guys doing the flippity dippity shit. Yeah. Watch your elders, you know, the Rey Mysterios and Eddie Guerreros of the world that made that possible for you.
Yeah. So this is where they piss me off. So
where they piss you off, Matt.
DDP, who is your Battle Bowl champ, mind you?
Yeah.
Which I love, because they actually give significance to the ring that he won in the Battle Bowl.
Unlike it's someone else.
He defends.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unlike some other promotion out there that copied WCW like they keep doing.
But did it piss poor.
Yeah.
You had the Battle Bowl champion designate the diamond ring. Mm-hmm. And then the guy win it and not do what the Battle Bowl champion did with the... Anyway, we're not talking to AEW. So DDP wins here. We get a great fucking promo. This is like... This is where you start to see DDP breaking out to who he is going to become.
Yeah.
We get the self high five. Fucking loved it. And then he's stripped of his title shot because his toe touched the floor. So they give it to fucking Luger. The fuck?
So it's funny because I don't know if this has anything to do with, you know, what happened here. But I know a lot of times Bischoff talks about how, like, he purposely, like, he went out of his way to not seem like he was giving DDP preferential treatment because they're friends and because, like, they live near each other and all that kind of shit. I don't know if this was a product of that or not, but yeah.
That is, like, the weirdest, because, like, he made it very clear he did not like Lex Luger or want to bring Lex Luger into the company. Yet he strapped a fucking rocket to a guy he didn't like. And then the guy that he actually liked and got along with, he fucking.
Yeah.
Dude, I was so pissed. I'm like, fucking Lex Luger, of all people, fucking Lex Luger gets the title shot.
I'm with Bischoff on a lot of things, but this is one of those things where I'm just like, nah, I can't go with you on this one, bro. I can't go with you on this one.
And then our main event, the Giant defeated Arn Anderson. And Arn hits the Taskmaster with a Double A Spine Buster. Right? I wrote Arn title shots Taskmaster with AA.
He hit him. I don't think it was like with a spine buster though, because it was supposed to be something that was accidental, if I'm remembering correctly. I watched a lot of WCW in a week and it was just, you know.
Yeah, it all kind of blended together. And that's the thing, like Big Show, Paul White, the Giant, now AEW official. His until matches we get weren't that memorable
until we get that you know, match against Shaq, because
all size and he's got the fucking choke slam, but like his matches really weren't that memorable. And
like, and I think at this point, like, what you've seen him do in WCW is the only matches he's ever had. Like, they said, hey, you're big as fuck, get in the ring, here's how you fall, all right, now get in the ring. Like, it's just that simple. That's all they taught him. He knew nothing.
None of that mattered. That was our last hour-long episode of Nitro. We have now moved into the two-hour Nitro era starting on May 27th.
First show to do it.
And we kick it off with Larry Zbyszko and Tony Schiavone on commentary. Loved that.
I like the idea of them. I like how they did that with two different commentary teams, and they'll keep doing that. Throughout, like, they'll, even if they just, I think they get to a point where they just change out one person, where they go with the three-man booth, which the way they did the three-man booth was perfect when they had Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, and then the first half of the show would be Zbyszko and the second half would be Brain. And that dynamic of the three that they have at a time was always just my favorite three-man booth that I've ever seen in wrestling, because they had Tony to do the play-by-play. They have Mike Tenay as like the true analyst, the one that's the historian, the one that knows everything, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you got your entertaining dude in the middle with, you know, Zbyszko or Heenan, either one. Heenan is better, clearly, which is why they could have him close out the show. But
Heenan is also the one that was going to get them in the most trouble with the shit that came out of his mouth.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. 100%. But, you know, their three-man booth is better than any other three-man booth I've seen on any other show. But right now, like I said, it's just the two. The first hour, Tony Schiavone and Zbyszko, second hour, Bischoff and Heenan. But yeah.
All right. So this first match, I have a serious issue.
What's your issue?
DDP stripped of his title shot for going over the top rope and for his toe touching the floor.
Okay.
This match, American males lose to Rick and Arn. Ric Flair goes over the top rope and there's no DQ.
Oh yeah, that happens a few times. Like,
yeah, I know. There, sometimes they go over the top rope and it's DQ. Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's not. And it's like, okay, where is the consistency? If you're gonna get rid of it, come out and say you got rid of it. If you're gonna fucking keep it, keep it. But don't give me one match where it happens and there's no DQ, and then a match where it does happen and it is a DQ. Just depending on, like, oh my god, dude, it was driving me nuts. I'm watching this shit.
No, it's another thing that AEW took from referee discretion.
It was driving me nuts. Oh, it was pissing me off.
Oh yeah, I know. It was bothering me too. As I'm watching it this time through, I'm just like, ugh, why are they not? That's a DQ, right?
Yeah, me and
like Gene, they've used that like as a major storyline at some point, like. As you know, as far as using that as a DQ for why somebody who should have won a match lost it and not, yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Mean Gene interviewed the Four Horsemen. It's more of this them goading Mongo and trashing Randy Orton.
Three Horsemen at this point.
Yeah, there's still the Four Horsemen, but that, yes, there's only three, and Chris Benoit is never around.
Yeah, right now.
The Four Horsemen are fucking Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and their penises. That is
gonna,
the Four Horsemen.
See, I was going to say the Four Horsemen are Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Woman, and Elizabeth. But because that's the group of four that's always around.
Yeah, like we get a Kevin Green Mongo training segment that was way too long.
Oh, yeah.
Way too long. Then the highlight, what we've been waiting for, it finally gets here. I'm going to give these guys credit and use their names because I did write down Jobber v. Jobber because that's really what it was. But it's the Mauler versus Steve Dahl. And when I heard it, I got really excited because we're from Chicago and Steve Dahl is a famous DJ from Chicago. Okay. So I was like, oh shit. I didn't know they brought him in to wrestle. Not the same Steve Dahl. Not the same guy. Scott Hall knows this is a bullshit match. So he just kind of like jumps the barricade, grabs the mic. The match doesn't even end. Like
they just leave. They just leave. They're like, and they're just like, whatever's happening here is way bigger than me, so I'm gonna just get out the way. They just left.
The iconic, hey yo, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
Yeah, man. Oh, it was. This is the time. It's happening now. What we've been waiting for. And I know you said you know all these moments and all that, but seeing it in context. Was it better than what you thought, or was it just what you expected?
It was what I expected.
Okay.
Like I said, I love to say that my knowledge of wrestling is I am vaguely familiar. I am vaguely familiar with everything that kind of goes on. I'm vaguely familiar with what's going on in New Japan. I'm vaguely familiar with what's going on. If it's major or something happens, I'm vaguely familiar. Same thing with WCW. I was always vaguely familiar, and I watched all the documentaries, and I saw all the Monday Night Wars stuff, and I've seen every bit of clip and footage that you could possibly see that WWE has put together. So it was basically exactly what I expected because it's exactly how it was presented. But it was still cool to sit down. Well, I'm not even going to say that because, no, it was trash. The entire show was trash outside of this moment and maybe one or two other. Travis, I got excited because I thought Bash at the Beach was Great American Bash. I'm like, oh, we're going to get this six-man match away.
No.
Then I realized, no, this is Great American Bash, not Bash at the Beach. I still have to wait. Fuck.
So here's the thing, though. You got to imagine, though. It is May of 1996. Little 9-year-old Travis is watching Monday Nitro, okay? Not really paying attention to this match, really. It's like it's happening, but he's like, he doesn't know who either one of these guys are. So he really doesn't care what's happening. So he's vaguely paying attention. And he looks up and fucking Razor Ramon shows up during a match on Monday Nitro. Like, can you imagine what was going through the head of little 9-year-old Travis? Because I don't remember, but I know I was losing my shit.
Shows up in jeans and a jean vest, no shirt.
Yeah.
That is quite a look. No, dude.
That was very mid-90s of them.
This was fucking cool. And there is some decent shit in here. I'm not going to lie. But a lot of it is bad. And I'm putting it all on fucking Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan is making this so incredibly hard to watch. His existence is making this hard for me to watch. Pitbull Pittman, who you made me more familiar with, is with what I'm lovingly dubbing Fat Teddy Long.
That's Teddy Bear Teddy Long.
Yeah, no, this is Fat Teddy Long.
Teddy Bear Teddy.
They lose to DDP, who is still your Battle Bowl champion, ladies and gentlemen. We got a Macho Man recap. And then the shark is out of the Dungeon of Doom and in the title picture.
Well, here's the thing about WCW, sir. They just give title shots to anybody.
Clearly. So. It does not matter. But leaving the Dungeon of Doom, best move fucking ever, because now you got a match against the Giant for the title.
Yeah, but now your name is John Tenta.
John Tenta.
Which is his real name, so it's fine, because this is what they were like going for. Like, they wanted to make it real. Like, John Tenta is your name.
Well, yeah, that's why they did Scott Hall and they did Kevin Nash. Yeah. That was
I mean, the Shark isn't a very good name either, so it's not like, you know.
Well, but he cuts that promo where he's like, I believe it's next week we'll get to it, but he's, I'm not a shark. I'm not an avalanche. I'm not an earthquake. I'm a man. And my name is John Tenta.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you not feel that? How do you not feel that, Travis?
Because John Tenta's a stupid name.
I
don't care if that's the name he was born with. The show is still a stupid name.
Hogan has absolutely no loyalty, which doesn't surprise us because he is with George Foreman and calling Sugar Ray the best. And then we had a little thing from Shaq and Rodman here as well. Remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, not important. We switch over to Bischoff and Heenan on commentary. Shark loses to the Giant because the title is not
John
the main event.
Tenta.
He was still the Shark here. This is where he became John Tenta, because after the Shark loses to the Giant in not the main event, even though it was the title match, Big Bubba shaves the Shark's head, and he is now dressed like he is going to a 90s BDSM gay bar in the South, because he is wearing a Confederate flag t-shirt.
Yeah, well, that's Big Bubba for you. You got a name like Big Bubba, you act like a, you know, somebody named Big Bubba.
Yeah. Then we got Luger versus Max Muscle. Who the fuck is Max Muscle?
You know, when I saw this match, like, I used to think that, well, still do now, one of the strengths of WCW is that they had such, like, not a deep roster, but they pulled from a lot of people, because a lot of these people weren't contracted with WCW. They just, you know, pulled in, you know, random people from all over all the time.
I believe they claimed he was from the power plant, though.
Yeah,
I could be wrong, but I believe they did.
So yeah, they that was one of the things about them, where it's like, I didn't know everybody in WCW, so it was like, it always was interesting seeing new people.
Yeah,
but this was one that I was just like, you could have did better than that.
Well, especially if you're going for like the authenticity, the realness of the John Tentas, and the fuck it, you go with Max Muscle because the guy's jacked as fuck. Like, he made Lex Luger look small, who was jacked to the gills at the time. And then we have a Luger interview afterwards. Basically, he's ducking the Giant because he's a scared little bitch. Like, I don't understand how Lex Luger is the baby face going against the Giant for the title, but he is a scared little bitch, and he's not really the baby face.
Like, but to say he's like a tweener right now, that's not even an interesting tweener.
It's fucking awful, Travis.
It was started off as the, is he really going to be on Sting's side or is he not? And now it's clear that he is, but he still like kind of has Jimmy Hart, but doesn't have Jimmy Hart anymore. It's just gotten to the point where this is just dumb. Yep. So we need to end this.
Brad Armstrong loses to Bobby Walker.
Yeah. Exactly.
Steven Regal defeats Das Wunderkind, Alex Wright.
Here's the thing. I love seeing Alex Wright on my TV. It's just like, no bullshit. Seeing Alex Wright and Disco Inferno on my TV again was like the highlight of watching this again for me, this stream of shows.
I'll give you that. And then Sting and Steiner go to a double DQ.
Yep.
Because Luger and Rick are fighting on the outside and trying to get involved. This was supposed to be a friendly contest between two friends, and it got weird because everything in WCW gets weird. Like,
Yeah, well, here's the thing. That's another thing that they've talked about in at length, well, Bischoff has, about how, like, they were very shitty at finishes.
Oh, terrible.
Very shitty at finishes. And they're right. It's true. Finishes are awful. Like, they would have great matches. The matches would be going great. And somehow they just, they missed the dunk every time. Like, it's just, you had something great going on here. All you got to do is just, you know, just lay it in there. Just, boop. But nope. Hey, they decide to back up and turn around and shoot the shot backwards and it goes over the backboard. Like, that's just what they do.
I just, first off, how do you not have the giant, your champion, defending his title in the main event? And instead you give me this kerfuffle bullshit with Sting and the Steiners and Luger.
Because Sting and the Steiner could give you a better match, but the problem is...
Not with that ending?
Exactly.
The finish, I honestly so would have rather ended the show with John Tenta getting his head shaved by Big Bubba than ended it this way. Well, we didn't end it this way. We ended it with a Scott Hall promo, which would have ended the show anyway. So it didn't really matter what the last match was.
It's true.
Right. Scott Hall confronts Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff wants to know what's going on. Scott Hall lays down the challenge and says, I'm not alone. I've got a big surprise next week.
A big surprise.
A big surprise. And we are going to get
the most 6'10" surprise.
Famous fuck up.
Look, look, he's a wrestler, not an English major. All right.
Dude, I love that. That is like his most famous promo, and it is just the biggest fucking botch.
Oh man. Well, yeah. Look, look, he doesn't get paid to know the difference between an adjective and a verb. All right.
It's yeah, just... we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll check the adjective, Travis. Don't. So we kick it off with an interview with the Shark, who says he is a 500-pound man named John Tenta, and he is not going to get his hair fixed. He is going to leave the half of his head shaved so that he can relive the embarrassment on purpose to fuel his fire going forward.
I really feel like you could do that with a fully shaved head too.
I do too.
Because like just leaving the hair on the side with the bald on the top is just stupid anyway, Hulk Hogan. But yeah, I don't know.
That's why I'm in full Obadiah Stane mode. I let it grow out for the winter, but it got a little warmer. It got out of the negative, so I shaved that shit off. And it's a count out win for Tenta against Big Bubba, Big Whoop. Then the debut of High Voltage.
Yeah,
exciting new prospect tag team in WCW that I'm sure is gonna go on to win numerous tag titles and be one of the faces of the tag division.
No, they really just are kind of just there.
Yeah, they lose the Faces of Fear. Then Lex basically says he's innocent, the Steiners are at fault. And of course, Sting, who is the biggest fucking idiot at this point in his career, he was there, he saw what happened, but he buys Luger's story as he always does.
That's his best friend.
Travis, you're my best friend. I'm not going to buy your bullshit if I saw you fuck up.
Wasn't my fault.
Yeah. You and I know it's always your fault. Steiners are not having it, though. Especially Rick. Rick is pissed off. Disco Inferno loses to Pitbull Pitman with Teddy Bear Teddy. Why are we not getting more from Teddy Bear Teddy? Why is he just walking Pittman down to the ring? Where are the Teddy Bear Teddy promos?
Because WCW didn't know what they had, man.
I expect you to say he was black.
Yeah, that's why they didn't know, because he's black.
Disco quits this match so that he doesn't hurt his hands, so that he can continue to do all of his signature disco moves.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, man. Seeing the Disco Inferno again is my favorite part of rewatching this shit right now.
This man quit the match and said, no, I can still do this. and I can still do this.
Oh, man. I have never seen anybody in the history of wrestling commit to a character the way the Disco Inferno did. Like, it's just, this is who he is. This is what he does. Whew. It's commitment. And that kept him around for over a decade.
I will say, I do appreciate one thing about WCW, and that is the focus that they put on Steven Regal. He is out here defeating Jim Duggan, which, okay, again, we need to have this discussion. Wasn't there a whole thing that we covered about how they had a taped fist match because taped fists were illegal?
Yes.
Yet every match since that taped fist match, Jim Duggan reaches down, grabs the tape from his taint, barely wraps it around his hand, leaving it hanging, doesn't even rip the shit off, and starts punching people with it.
That's what you said is the best part of it all. The fact that he doesn't even fully tape his fist up. He just wraps it around like twice.
Yeah. Listen, I am fully watching this back so and seeing him, and this is no respect to the man Jim Duggan, or no disrespect to the man Jim. Actually, it might be disrespect to the man Jim Duggan. Give me a second here. Fully believe that the Eugene character was created based on Jim Duggan.
You might be right. You might be right.
USA! Oh my God, dude. It's... Oh.
Yo, remember when I used to walk around saying that in school?
I do.
For no reason. Like, somebody randomly mentioned Hacksaw Jim Duggan in gym class one time, and that was just it for me. I was doing that for the rest of the school year. Oh, yep. Great. Got in trouble because they thought I was talking about actual hoes. But yeah. No, it was just...
That was before we really knew what actual hoes were.
Yeah.
We hadn't quite been introduced to The Godfather, and our minds weren't expanded to where they are now. So Regal got fined for slapping Sting, and Regal says he wants this title shot, this U.S. title shot against Sting, and he wants Sting at his best, and that's why he slapped him. He wants him to focus and fire up. He doesn't want to take on a distracted Sting. He wants the best Sting. I'm really digging Sir Steven Regal. I could give a shit about the other guys that he's running with. Dave Taylor.
Oh, yeah, they were all irrelevant. Like, it was all about,
yeah,
you know, Steven Regal. Lord Steven Regal.
Lord Steven Regal. Sullivan's the fucking worst, all right? He's the booker, and he books himself to squash Prince Iaukea, which, shout out Prince Iaukea real quick, because haven't heard that name in fucking forever.
Yeah.
I fucking, dude, like, the eyebrows, the gimmick, the promos, everything about him, he looks like Dollar Store Hulk Hogan. Like, if you went to go get a Dollar Store Hulk Hogan action figure, that's what he looks like. It's smaller than a Hulk Hogan action figure. It's not shaped properly. The face is fucked up, but it is wearing yellow trunks.
It doesn't have the knee pads.
Yeah. I hate wrestlers that don't wrestle with knee pads. It bothers the shit out of me.
It bothers me too. Like, it really does.
Then we got the Rock and Roll Express losing to the Horsemen. So that was a fucking out of nowhere. I didn't even realize the Rock and Roll Express were part of WCW at this point.
They weren't really. I think they just did a couple of one-offs, kind of like how they did with WWF. And they just brought them in, just a couple of random one-offs.
Why is it that the Horsemen are the only ones getting, like, only people of significance getting any decent wins right now? Like, Sting and Luger going to DQ, random shit. The Giants beating fucking nobody of importance as champion. But the Four Horsemen are defeating everybody.
Because their most interesting feud is Ric Flair versus Macho Man. So it's just, they build them up and they just don't give a shit about anybody else because they're shitty at finishes. So it's just throw something together, whatever.
We catch Heenan chit-chatting with a woman in Elizabeth, and then he announces that he is not coming out of retirement as a manager, but he will coach the Four Horsemen. What is the difference between a coach and a manager in wrestling?
Well, he said it. He said it's different because it's just a one-time, one-off thing. He's not managing them, managing their careers. He's just coaching them for one night.
Okay. Travis, what is one of the coolest things that we have seen as of late as far as movies and TV?
WandaVision?
No. Sorry. What's one of the coolest announcements that we've had released recently as far as movies go?
As far as movies go?
That would be relevant to something that we might talk about here. Connect some dots.
Shazam? Well, Black Adam?
No. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Mortal Kombat.
New Mortal Kombat movie.
Oh, Glacier.
He's here. He's here. Well, he's coming.
Oh, man.
Also, at some point, Sting stole Glacier's gimmick for AEW, but that's neither here nor there.
What's so great about it? They did. It was all this hype for Glacier. I can't wait till you like. Have you seen Glacier?
I've seen Glacier.
Okay. Just like if you hadn't, I'd be like, oh, I can't wait for him to actually see Glacier though, because it's such a disappointment.
Yeah, he's great value Sub-Zero.
Oh man, it's just oh, that's what y'all got. That's what you gave me. Really? Okay.
But we get the Glacier hype video, and I'm excited for Glacier because we get to talk about Glacier as we are awaiting on April 16th the release of Mortal Kombat, which was what the man was based upon.
Yeah,
Glacier cool. And Mortis based on Mortal Kombat, which was a big deal at the time. And now, all of this time later, Mortal Kombat is getting another movie, and we are sitting here talking about a character in 1996 that was created around that mythology, or I guess technically created in spite of that mythology would be a better way to put it. The giant defeats Ice Train because, again, he's just wrestling whoever. He's the champion. He's got a match with Lex Luger, but until then, just whoever. And Scott Norton gets pissed off and gets dropped too. So now the giant is dropped. Both fire and ice.
Here's my thing. This is a very Hulk Hogan moment by Scott Norton here. Because he's mad for no reason. Like, Ice Train lost. Why are you mad? He just beat the dude. Why are you mad that he beat the dude? Like, what do you want?
Your tag team partner lost him. You should be mad at somebody. It should be your tag team partner.
Yeah. Like when Hulk Hogan used to just get mad because he lost and like cost other people the match because he's an asshole. You know?
Then we have a match where Scott Norton takes on Hugh Morris. And despite the fact that he got dropped by the giant, Norton pulls out the win here because Hugh Morris is just fucking around.
And tried to laughing. Do that top rope move when Scott Norton, quote, caught him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love how the commentators always try to fix it too. Like, oh, he lost his foot and he got it back and then he dropped him. Like, no, that's not what happened at all. He didn't catch him. That's what happened.
Like, so we have kind of a story for the tag titles where they talked about Ice Train or Fire and Ice versus the Steiners being a thing. And I believe the winner gets a tag title shot.
Right.
And we've kind of got a U.S. title story going on with Regal and Sting that they're putting the least amount of effort into whatsoever on Nitro. And then we've kind of got a world title story with Luger and the Giant that, again, they are not putting any effort into because they are too busy telling a story between Luger and Sting and the Steiners, even though they're all supposed to be involved in other shit.
Yeah. And Luger still just has the TV title for no reason because he's not defending it on TV.
Yeah. Kevin Green and Mongo McMichaels discuss wrestling strategy as if it was football because football is what they know. Then they decide, you know what? We're going to get Macho Man as our coach. We are still waiting to hear if Macho Man is even still working for WCW, but they're going to go get him as their coach, even though he's not allowed in the fucking building.
No, he's not allowed to wrestle in the building.
The Steiners take on Luger and Sting. Macho agrees to coach, and then Heenan gets all squirmy. The Giant causes a DQ. Sting, Scott Steiner, and Luger then join forces and attack the Giant. But of course, the Giant never leaves his feet. He gets knocked out over the top rope, lands on his feet because he's the Giant, and big men shouldn't leave their feet, even if you have three guys fighting him at once.
Yeah, he was Kane before Kane.
Again, this is all a clusterfuck. You've got Bobby Heenan talking about Macho Man on commentary. Well, we've got the Steiners versus Luger and Sting for no fucking reason. And then main event time.
Well, Bobby Heenan's going to Bobby Heenan. It's just kind
of
like,
he can't be the coach. I'm the coach. This isn't right. The man's a lunatic. Racist, racist, racist. Like,
you got to throw the sexism in there too, because he does that too a lot.
Yeah, he does that. He does that very well. I actually think he said something about somebody only being good for cooking in the kitchen or something like that, or needs to be back in the kitchen. I don't remember.
Probably.
And I think it was about Deborah. But then again, it's a DQ finish. Instead of
track of the things Bobby Heenan said.
Yeah, this time. Shit Bobby Heenan said was your thing.
Yeah, that's
your
thing. I know. I definitely forgot. I'll do it for the next one.
Sting, like I said, Sting, Steiner, and Luger are attacking him because of the DQ. But again, this is a main event with a non-finish. You have a tag team match. The Giant comes out, and we end the show with the last match. Well, we don't end the show, but the last match of the show ends with a non-finish, which happens every fucking Nitro.
Yeah, and it's going to keep happening every fucking Nitro. You're just going to have to get used to that shit.
Scott Hall's back, says he isn't alone. Sting doesn't like what Scott's been saying. Hall says he wants WCW's three best. Sting says, let's go one-on-one and slap Scott Hall. And I'm sorry, I'm correcting myself. The big surprise is coming next week. So June 10th, the next episode we're going to cover is the big surprise and where we're going to.
Oh, man. Yeah, I bet this is one of those nights that, you know, Nash is just like, man, I wish I paid more attention in English class.
June 10th kicks off the match.
English class when I was in the third grade.
Yeah. June 10th kicks off with Booker T losing to Scott Steiner. Steiner says there will be a winner against Fire and Ice. And Deborah interrupts to let us know that she now all of a sudden she wants the match canceled, because she's worried what Mongo was going to do to the Four Horsemen in her honor.
Yeah.
Ric Flair has been suggesting that he has been inside you seven ways from Sunday. Biblically, besmirched your name
multiple times.
And you're worried that your husband is going to fuck him up. So you want the match to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. And then proceeds to go into their locker room.
Yeah. Let's go find the guy that said he's been fucking me. Okay. We're going to get to that. So, I didn't even write down this guy's name. I just listed him as Buff Stevie Richards, because he looked like Buff Stevie Richards.
He had on that the singlet with the black and goldish color. Yeah,
he,
I know you.
He loses about the DDP.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who he is. He lost the DDP.
So DDP is just winning match after match after match, but nothing significant because no favoritism from Bischoff. We're just gonna put you on this win streak and keep it quiet, kind of somewhere in the beginning, the middle of the card. We'll give you a ring you can defend, but we're not gonna give you a title shot. And then the most awkward thing I've ever seen in my life, Travis. We have a Kevin Sullivan, Chris Benoit vid package to hype their match.
I'll be quite honest with you. This came on and I started looking at Twitter.
Oh, the vid package itself wasn't awkward. It's awkward because we're looking back at this through 2021 eyes, knowing that Kevin Sullivan's wife would marry Chris Benoit and how all that would end.
Oh, well,
and that these two are fighting, and that this feud is the catalyst that led to woman and Benoit's relationship from the get-go.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of packages on the show. Everyone's package is on display. We got a Benoit Sullivan package.
I mean,
we got a
you got to show the packages, man. Like,
we got a Conan package.
If you got a good package, you got to show the package, all right?
Conan had a spicy package. I will give Conan that. He had a spicy, spicy package.
It is. It is quite the spicy package.
Sting defeats Meng one-on-one. Again, poor faces of fear, poor Meng. Just jobbing
he'll
out.
Get a, he's going to get a run pretty soon, though, like a solo kind of thing. Yeah. He's just kind
of
like,
to break up the faces of fear, and he does some shit. Yeah. And then he goes to WWF, and they call him Haku.
Yeah.
And yeah, so
but you know, poor Barbarian just kind of gets left behind though. So
yeah, as you alluded to, Deborah meets with Heenan and he takes her to talk to Ric Flair so that they can get out of the match. And she is not even in the locker room for 2 minutes before she comes out screaming. Minute, I'm assuming,
please try 2 seconds. Like, they walk in, close the door, immediately screams.
Like, I'm assuming Ric Flair showed her the baby arm.
Yeah, I'm about to say he must have pulled his dick out as soon as they closed the door.
How weird is it that in 1996, Ric Flair is fucking three people's wives, and in 2021, Ric Flair was fucking one person's wife, and then they backed out of it?
Yeah. I mean, it was the 90s, man. What you gonna say?
And then for no reason whatsoever, the Renegade and Joe Rogan are there.
Yeah, why were they in the area? Like, they got their asses whooped, yeah, but, like, why were they even over there?
Yeah, I have no idea why they were there or why Rick and Arn attacked them. Like, they came out after Deborah, and then they're just like, oh, hey, there's two people.
They just whooped their ass, instead of fucking them up. Because why not? But
also, the fucking Renegade is still a thing.
Yeah, I was about to say that, too. Like, oh, we were deprived of seeing the Renegade in the ring, though. Like, I wanted to see the Renegade one more time.
So it was supposed to be the Renegade and Joe Gomez versus Rick and Arn, but because Rick and Arn took them out, they're being replaced by Lex and Sting, and they're going to put the belts on the line.
Which is, quite honestly, a much more interesting match, but still, like, I want to.
So Lex and Sting have all the belts except for the world title
and the U.S. title.
I thought Sting was U.S. champion.
No, Conan's U.S. champ.
Oh, okay, that's right. Dave Taylor versus Jim Duggan again, taping his fist. How is this not illegal? The fuck,
motherfucker! Knocking over my pool.
Like, I'd get it if you were still in Chicago, because, like, that's not possible. But, like, you could actually, like,
put a pool in my living room?
Yeah.
I know.
Or just, like, go that's outside and enjoy a pool. Like, you that's don't need a fake pool. Like, you could just go to the pool in Texas.
It's not fake. There's a pool in my living room.
Yeah. Okay, Travis.
Like, don't slander my pool just because you're jealous because you don't have a living room pool. All right?
We also get a video package for the cruiserweights.
Fully equipped with the surrounding fence and trees and shit.
Yeah, inside your house.
Yeah,
outdoors inside.
Yeah.
You got that outdoor
pool nonetheless. Like, that's how I'm balling over here.
I was going to say, you got that pools. You got that indoor-outside pool.
Exactly. Now you get it.
Big Bubba and Jimmy Hart have an interview that no one cares about. Again, it still looks like he is dressed like a gay biker.
No, Jimmy Hart is fucking club. Everywhere. Like,
Jimmy Hart manages everyone for no reason, and no one knows like where his loyalties lie. Like,
every time I look up, Jimmy Hart's there. Like,
he's everyone's manager, and everyone's like, "Well, I don't know who he's loyal to," and Jimmy Hart just laughs because he doesn't know either.
Loyal to Jimmy Hart. He's loyal to that paycheck.
I'm loyal to whoever they tell me I'm loyal to when they put me on TV and they cut me a check. That's who I'm loyal to.
He is loyal to the paycheck.
The Giant defeats Scott Norton, and then Luger attacks the Giant. And I don't know who to, like, I really don't know who I would root for in this Giant versus Luger feud. Like, going into Great American Bash.
Mostly, like, in this case, I'm more on the side of the Giant here just because I like seeing people dominate shit, you know? So,
yeah.
A lot of people are like, I want to see the babyface overcome this big obstacle. Like, no, I want to see him get his ass whooped.
We get a Billy Kidman sighting as he loses to Steven Regal before Regal is attacked by Sting in retribution for being slapped 3 weeks ago.
Pre-flock.
Took Sting a little while to get that that payback from getting bitch slapped.
Patience is a virtue, Matt.
Yeah. Nasty Boys lose to Public Enemy via DQ.
Nasty Boys and Public Enemy, like, this match wasn't really representative of what they give you, because they are just, when you take the rules away and just let the Nasty Boys and Public Enemy go at it, some of the best hardcore shit you'll ever
see. We've seen that, though, in WCW. Like, this is just an ongoing weird feud where, like, there's no promos, no build. It's just every time these guys are out there, they want to hit each other with shit.
Yeah, they just beat the fuck out of each other. That's all they do, just beat the fuck out of each other with shit, because when they don't have, I think what happens is, they're like, okay, the show's a little light. We need to fill 6 minutes. Who's here? Oh, Nasty Boys. Hey, go out there and hit each other with shit.
Hey, Travis, I got a question for you.
What's your question?
In our main event.
In your main event.
Sting and Luger versus Rick and Arn for the tag titles.
Sting and Luger versus Rick and Arn for the tag titles.
How do you think this match ended?
No finish, DQ, all that, you know.
Because like the giant Luger causes a DQ.
Yeah.
Pissed off that Luger attacked him earlier. He comes down and causes a DQ in the main event.
Oh, yeah.
And then he is attacked by Luger, Sting, and Scott Steiner ran from the back, despite his issues with Lex Luger, to assist in beating down the Giant, even though he has no stake whatsoever with the Giant. No issue with the Giant.
But Sting is his friend.
And then we're back at commentary.
Look, Big Papa Pump gonna do what he do. Just let him do it.
We're back at commentary. Scott Hall walks into frame. Eric Bischoff musters up all of the balls that he has. Where is he? Where's this big surprise? You said he was coming. I don't see anybody but you. And the whole time, you got Scott Hall doing the fingers and pointing. And then Kevin Nash taps him on the shoulder, turns around, says, "So, this is where the big boys play, huh? Check the adjective. Play. We're not here to play."
Look, look. He's a wrestler, not an English major. Just let him have it, all right? He didn't know. He just, you know, it was in the moment. He was trying to say something clever, and it backfired.
We're here. Where are your three guys? You still haven't got them. And then it's the Nacho Man.
Yeah, that was after all those, as they were running on Nitro and shit with the Huckster and the Nacho Man and, you know,
yeah,
Billionaire Ted and all that.
My favorite thing happens at the pay-per-view, though. I might not have made a note about this. Hold on a second. Malenko. Lead. Taskmaster. Okay, yes, it did. It did. Okay. It's the very last thing. Great American Bash. We kick it off with the much-anticipated, well-built full story of Fire and Ice taking on the Steiners. This was a fucking mess. It was trash. This match was terrible. Terrible.
Oh, that Frankensteiner, Matt. That Frankenstein.
The Frankenstein, the whole thing. And like, I don't know who to blame. Like, do I blame? Because at least, as I said, at least the Steiners are literally looking like they're beating the shit out of these two guys. Mm-hmm. So do I blame Fire and Ice? Do I blame Ice Train and Scott Norton for fucking just making everything look like shit?
Yeah, because I think Ice Train was pretty green at the time, too. But the thing is, that Frankensteiner, on one hand, I'm like, oh, that's pretty shitty. But at the same time, I'm just like, it kind of made it feel more real. Because you watch these other ones when they do the, you know, do a Hurricane Rana is what it's called now, you know? The flip looks too clean, honestly. So
that is a criticism that AEW has gotten that I have heard. Actually, Kenny from McKenny for Your Thoughts brought this up. They did a move between Lance Archer and Rey Fénix on an episode of Dynamite, and he said that it looks like Fénix was helping Archer. It looks too pretty and clean. You need to get a little grittier.
Yeah. That happens with WWE too. So it's not even like just a they thing. It happens with on a broken promotion. It's worse on AEW, don't get me wrong. But yeah. It does happen on WWE also, where things just don't look, it doesn't look like a fight anymore a lot of times, you know? Because that's still what this is supposed to be. They're still supposed to be fighting. So it still needs to look like a fight. So that's what I'll give this. Is like, it didn't look so clean. It didn't look like they were just, you know, flipping for them and everything like that. It still looked bad. There's an in-between there. But, yeah.
Just wait, because they did something that looked really bad. Not in this match. On the pay-per-view. One thing that I was really excited about is we got to watch Konnan beat the pussy.
Really?
Did you not see it?
Is that what you're going to call Elgato? You going to disrespect Elgato like that? Like,
who the fuck is Elgato?
The person you're referring to right now.
The pussy. I just really wanted to say I got to watch Konnan beat the pussy.
I know you did.
I did put Elgato in quotation so I didn't forget what the fuck
what his actual name was.
Because, like, again, who the fuck is Elgato?
He's, you know, big time from Mexico.
And then the Sting Mean Gene interview, where Sting and Mean Gene imply that William Regal is gay.
Yeah.
And that it is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Welcome to 1996, people.
The inherent homophobia.
Yeah.
Promo, man.
Oh, it was bad. Oh, it was so bad. And it's just like, wow. We just let it go.
I was like, this is pay-per-view, and I thought Sting was going to drop the F word. I thought he was going to call.
Yeah. Yeah. I did too at first. He's like, I can't say it. You know, like you were going to say that, weren't you?
Yeah, you were.
You were about to. Woo. Mm-hmm. Oh, Stinger.
DDP defeats Buff Bagwell to retain his ring.
No. He defeated Marcus Bagwell. All right. He was not Buff yet.
He was still Buff.
He was Marcus Bagwell.
Yes. He was one half of the American Males. He had a terrible dye job and a shitty haircut and looked like one of the dancers from Chippendales.
Yes.
But I'm always going to call him Buff Bagwell. And I will never forget that this is a man who let his mother shave his junk.
Somebody's got to shave it.
And then became a gigolo on TV.
You do what you got to do.
I wonder if all of his clients were former, like, 90s wrestling fans. Like, I can't really see anyone else wanting to pay Buff Bagwell to fuck them than people that actually watched him on TV and, like, wanted to fuck him back in the 90s.
Yeah. So it was probably a lot of those, you know, ones who were a bit up in age from, you know, that were like of adult age back in the 90s.
Yeah.
And like now they're like in their 60s.
And they're all like, how much for us to do it on a forklift? If you call me Judy.
And the lack of, there's a lack of teeth now, you know, and not the like the good lack of teeth.
I was gonna say that makes the blowjob better.
No, not the good lack of teeth. The ones where it's just like there's one here and then one here and then one here. There's still teeth there, so it's like it's still enough there for them to scratch you up.
So his prime market was women in the South in their late 50s, early 60s.
Probably.
Okay.
Mostly in like the Georgia area.
Spitting tobacco through the holes in their mouth.
Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's got to suck. You'd have to pay me a lot for that.
I mean, I'm sure he demanded top dollar.
And then again, like we said, we got a giant promo here where he hates Lex Luger. And we bring up, can Jimmy Hart be trusted? Because Jimmy Hart has managed Lex Luger. Jimmy Hart has managed the Dungeon of Doom. Jimmy Hart is managing the Giant. We don't know where his loyalty lies. And all Jimmy Hart does is fucking laugh because that's all he can do. Because he doesn't know either.
He doesn't care. Just pay me.
Dean Malenko defeats Rey Mysterio in Rey Mysterio's first match on WCW.
He is 21 years old in this match, dude.
And I believe Dominic is 21 right now.
Yeah. He was 21 years old in this match. He had been, but he was 21 years old, but had been wrestling for 7 years. Here's the thing. Fantastic.
You know, that's why Dominic's like fucking 6'2" and Ray's like 5 foot nothing, right?
What?
Because he started wrestling at 13 or 14. It stunted his growth.
Probably.
He probably would have been as tall as Dominic if he had fucking waited a couple years. He took all those bumps and fucked up his growth plates, and then he just never grew.
It's true. But, yeah, great match with Dean Malenko here. Not his best one. His best one, I think, it happens later in the year. I believe it's Halloween Havoc. It might have been World War III. But with him and Eddie, and it's just I cannot wait till we get to that one because it is one of my favorite matches ever. But
I mean, it's still Dean Malenko, zero personality, but in-ring work rate, fantastic.
Very good, very good. Every now and then, though, he does things that we talked about before look, wouldn't say too clean, but look too choreographed.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it was one spot on the top where he literally did look like he put himself in position, you know, for Ray to do some moves to him. But outside of that, it's like just very, very crisp in the ring, though. Very good. Solid with him and Ray. Great. Just, I love to see it. And all you fans of, you know, once again, fans of AEW and those alike, bow down and give them some fucking respect.
We got a weird promo here from Lex Luger because he's got a fucking world title shot and he actually kind of seems like he doesn't want to go out there and fight. Like, he doesn't really want the match. Like, I mean, he's not happy that he might become champion.
I mean,
nor does he seem to have faith in himself that he can win.
If you had to get in the ring with Paul White, would you be excited?
Yeah. But that's looking from 2020 eyes, where I know he's a big crybaby and he loses a lot.
He didn't know that back then, though. This is in 1996, before we knew anything. We just knew this dude was huge as fuck. They said he was 7'4". All right? We didn't know that he was really just right at 7 feet tall.
7'4", 5,000 pounds of the giant.
He got heavier, like, every other week, too. Like,
it's insane. Big Bubba loses to John Tenta. John Tenta grabs the beard and trims the goatee because Bubba couldn't stop him, apparently. Once you grab a man by the goatee, you have full control of his body. He has no autonomy whatsoever.
No control over his arms or anything.
Can't stop it.
You know.
This I really enjoyed. So, and I only enjoyed it because of the finish, because it's not something you see. So we have the Taskmaster losing to Benoit. In a no DQ match, he hits a superplex and wins with a superplex.
Yep.
Because you should win with a superplex. Yeah, point of a superplex.
Yeah. A move that big should finish a match at least sometimes. Like, that's the thing. That was one of the things about, you know, wrestling in the 90s or even a little bit earlier, that sometimes just big moves like that would win a match. Like, it wouldn't just be a spot in a match. Like, you hit something that big, sometimes it could end it. It didn't always end it, but sometimes it could.
So that is the one small credit I will give to Kevin Sullivan.
If he allowed himself to lose. That's your boy Kevin Sullivan, though.
To a superplex from Chris Benoit. The horsemen are back together. Finally, the three horsemen are together. They stomped Sullivan, which I absolutely loved. And then Arn Anderson cuts a hell of a fucking promo. How is this guy never world champion? He's almost a better talker than Ric Flair.
Because he was attached to Ric Flair. That's why.
Jesus Christ. He turned on Flair. That would have been the perfect time to do it. Like, this guy can go in the ring. He has the look. He has the size. He has everything. And he cuts a fucking great promo.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he was always next to Ric Flair.
Not always. He went to WWF as part of the Brainbusters with Tully for a while. They could have split them up and gave him a singles run and done something with him.
They could have.
They had Hulk Hogan, so like no one else fucking mattered. Sting defeats Regal. Not surprised. And then the one thing they actually built to on this pay-per-view, the one thing that we've been watching them build to for the last 4 weeks, the biggest story in professional wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Wait. What? Did the Giant and Luger have a match?
Yeah.
I did not put that in my notes whatsoever.
Really? I mean, it happened after this.
Yeah, that no.
The Luger and Giant match was still the main event.
I literally went from this to the Bischoff stuff, and that was it.
Oh, well, yeah, they had the match. It wasn't a lot. It was one of those where Luger was getting dominated. He tried to make a little bit of a comeback, but it didn't really work. Giant won.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah.
Arn and Rick versus Mongo and Kevin Green. Let me just say that Mongo is an embarrassment to the Chicago Bears. They brought up how he went to the Packers for the money.
For the money.
Being one of the Chicago Bears, he gets in the ring and the man can't wrestle to save his life. He is just trash. I'll give Kevin Green all the credit in the world. For a football player, in his first match, Kevin Green tore it down. Mongo looked like shit.
I mean, it was Mongo's first match too.
Mongo looked like shit.
Well, yeah, but it was also his first match.
During the match, Deborah comes out with woman, with Miss Elizabeth.
Well, before that, though, because that's,
go ahead.
Why did they get chased to the back?
I don't know.
Because that was just so weird.
They had to go back and get the briefcase.
Yeah, but why were they running from woman and Elizabeth? They're the baby faces in this situation. Why were they running?
Kevin Green's wife was out there as well. No one cared because she wasn't really part of the story.
That's what I'm saying. Deborah and Kevin Green's wife were running from woman and Elizabeth. Like, they were supposed to be like the baby faces in this situation, but they were doing the cowardly thing and running away, which is weird to me.
Well, because woman and Miss Elizabeth are actual wrestling characters, and these are just,
but not
wrestlers. I guess, wags. Would they be wives and girlfriends? Wags? We'll call them wags. Are they like the original wags?
I guess, but like, woman and Elizabeth aren't wrestlers. So it's just like,
well, woman was a wrestler.
In this, but right now she's not. Yeah. And the thing is with them, like, you know, typically in those situations, there's going to be some running to the back. Usually the heels are the ones that do the cowardly running away thing.
I'm going to need you to pause it.
Okay. Yeah, they would like the, you know, the cowardly heels are supposed to run away. The baby faces aren't supposed to be the ones that run away. That's my thing.
Yeah, I figure actual people in the wrestling business, wives and girlfriends, they're not going to fight back. So they ran away. The heels chased them out. And they chased them out for a reason, because when they came back, Deborah's all excited. She's like, hey, baby, look at this. She opens up a briefcase and shows it to Mongo, and it's full of money and it's got a Four Horsemen shirt in it.
Well,
so
quite honestly, you tell me you get all this money and you can join the Four Horsemen if you just help us beat up Kevin Green.
You're joining the group of the guys that have been fucking your wife or claiming to fuck your wife or want to fuck your wife. You are putting her in proximity to Ric Flair, who has slept with 10,000 women and does not seem to give a shit about marital vows for anyone, himself or people he knows.
I think this bothers you more than it bothers me, because I'm not married.
It's not that it bothers me. It's just, I would never, like, okay, let's say you and John were a team and John spent weeks talking about fucking my wife. I don't care how much money you give me. I am not going to then go and join the guy who's been talking about fucking my wife.
I can hear that. I can see that. I can see that. That was a lot of money, though.
And that was the whole thing, is they talked about how he betrayed the Bears and went to the Packers for all that money. And this is his personality and blah, blah, blah. Exactly. And that's exactly what he does.
He
takes the shirt. He takes the money. He joins the Four Horsemen. Now it is the Four Horsemen. Now there are four of them. And he has got to be, correct me if I'm wrong, the worst member of the Four Horsemen.
In history, yeah.
In history.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
But if you're going to put a trash-ass wrestler with anybody, you might as well put him with the best guys so he doesn't look that bad. Just all of this, I'm going to fuck your wife. All of this, I did fuck your wife. All of this hate and anger and everything to get Macho Man back ringside for him to just join those guys.
Yeah. Yep. That's what happened.
I feel betrayed, which I'm supposed to feel betrayed. Like that's the thing, is like, I watched all of this for 4 weeks and this is what happens.
Oh wait, did you not know Mongo joined the Horsemen?
I knew Mongo was part of the Horsemen. Okay. Eventually. I didn't know it happened here.
Oh, okay.
I assumed that he had this, that him and Kevin Green won, and then somewhere down the line,
I see,
something happened and they aligned. I did not know that this was that. And okay. When I saw the briefcase, I realized that this was that. And I was like, really? Really? This is how it happens? So yeah, I'm experiencing something here for the first time, Travis. Something I didn't know. Something that was fucking bullshit. Like you said,
mission accomplished there, man. That's what they wanted.
Giant versus Lex Luger was such a good match. I didn't even take notes on it and forgot it happened.
Yeah, you were just in awe.
Yeah. I feel like Will Smith came on the TV and fucking erased my mind, Men in Black style.
Well, you know that match. You know that match happened after the Bischoff stuff. Are you sure you don't have it?
The Bischoff stuff is literally the last thing I have. So maybe I just shut the pay-per-view off thinking the Bischoff stuff was the last thing. I didn't watch the main event.
That might be it. Because the way down to the ring, Lucas stopped to talk to Bischoff. Well, look at Bischoff.
Is there anything after? So that's the main event. There's nothing after that, right?
No, there's nothing after that.
So I may have watched the entire pay-per-view and then just said, fuck the Giant Lex Luger and shut
it off. Maybe. But yeah, that's what happened, though. Like, the Giant Lex Luger had the match. Luger was getting dominated for a while. He made a little bit of a comeback, you know, because he's Lex Luger. Like, I'm strong as fuck. Watch me, Steve, if I can get him. But he don't get him. And the Giant wins.
I swear I remember the fucking credits rolling. But anyway, not important. This is what's important. Bischoff answers the Outsider's challenge. And Razor Ramon is forced to come out and let everyone know that he does not work for the WWF, because this is the point in time where Vince McMahon sued the fuck out of WCW for defamation and gimmick infringement. So they had to make a statement that we do not work for the WWF.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun, because they were definitely walking that line for a while of implying that they did without saying that they did. Because, like, technically, they never said they were working for WWF.
Correct.
And like you said, only thing that you could say is the fact that he said, you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here. But.
And they often alluded to WCW or spoke about WCW as if they were not employed by WCW.
Oh, and they're going to keep doing that. That's the thing.
They said they were here to start a war.
Yeah.
Everything they did and said implied. Mm-hmm. We came from over there, and we're here to fight.
And he was still using that Razor Ramon Cuban accent thing that he was doing. You know,
see, now that I don't have an issue with, because that's Scott Hall. Like, yeah, that's his shit.
I'm saying that's what WWF would claim, though, that he was.
Using. Yeah, and I think they lost that too.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Bischoff takes a jackknife off the stage.
Yep. Commitment. And you got to think, this is the first time anything like that has happened on wrestling television. Because this is like over a year before Stone Cold stuns Vince. Like, this doesn't happen. I didn't see this pay-per-view because this was before I was able to convince anybody to buy pay-per-views for me. I just had to wait till, you know, the next Nitro for them to just play it again. And like, tell me what happened. But yeah, the first time anything like this has ever happened.
You said they killed Kevin Sullivan. Is Kevin Sullivan gone after this?
I don't remember details, but I don't remember anything significant happening with him after this.
Okay, so because they were supposed to end the Dungeon of Doom, and they didn't. And then the Shark left the Dungeon of Doom, but it was still around. And Kevin Sullivan's still on my TV. And I need no more Kevin Sullivan. I never, ever want to hear about the Dungeon of Doom again. and I need Kevin Sullivan to go away.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear the name the Taskmaster because that connects him to the Dungeon of Doom and implies that he is still part of the Dungeon of Doom.
Yeah, I don't really remember Kevin Sullivan being of any consequence after this. Like, he may show up kind of, but I don't remember anything else happening with him. But Giant is still the champ, which kind of means the Dungeon of Doom is still kind of relevant because Giant's still part of that and he's the champ. So I don't know.
But he's not, because Kevin Sullivan's not managing him, nor is he affiliated with it in any way, shape, or form. He is managed by Jimmy Hart,
who manages which is everybody really in the Dungeon of Doom.
What they should have just done is had Jimmy Hart turn on Hulk Hogan to manage the Giant and left the Dungeon of Doom the fuck out of it. After Jimmy Hart saw the Giant fall 500 stories off the top of a building
and live,
land on his feet, and then walk back into an arena to dry fuck Hulk Hogan with a man wrapped in toilet paper that we knowingly, lovingly call the Yeti, Jimmy Hart was like, that's the guy I want to manage.
Oh, the Yeti. Oh, good old Reese. Oh, man. He'll be back, too.
Not he's in the Nation.
Yeah, not as the
Yeti. Or not the Nation, the Ravens
Flock. Yeah.
Nation was not WCW. That was a completely different faction.
Completely different faction, completely different company. One was made up of, like, you know, raggedy white dudes, and the other was made up of mostly, you know,
and black people just had a couple raggedy white dudes.
Yeah, they just had Crush.
And... Well, no, it wasn't just Crush. I mean, Owen Hart was a part of that.
But he wasn't raggedy.
You had the two white guys, Wolfie D and fucking JT Ice or whatever, the rappers.
Yeah, they were raggedy.
Yeah.
Owen wasn't raggedy, though. I wouldn't call Owen raggedy. He was just there.
I can't call Owen raggedy because that's disrespectful to the memory of Owen Hart.
Yeah. Yeah, and the legacy of his family, you know.
I'm just saying he was a white dude that was part of the group.
Yeah. I'm specifically talking about the raggediness of Raven's Flock, though, with you know, they tore up clothes and all that shit.
Well, Raven's Flock is comprised of Raven, Billy Kidman, one half of the American male, Scotty Riggs, after he loses an eyeball, and the Yeti after he's wiped his head.
No, you won't see that for quite a while.
And the Yeti, after he's removed all of the toilet paper from his body and wiped his ass with it. And then Lodi, wasn't Lodi there was a Lodi. I don't know who the fuck he was.
On the outside with the sign.
Yeah, I don't remember who the fuck he was or why he was important. I just remember him. I'm, again, vaguely familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Riggs losing his eye, I remember watching that. I didn't watch it live. Like, I was one of those times where I rented the tape later, you know?
Yes.
But yeah, happened at... World War III, 97.
I was gonna say, this is another thing where, like, something happens and then the guy goes and joins the people that hurt him.
Yeah, it was what didn't happen at World War III, 97. I don't think, I forgot what match it was, but they went on and had more matches after that. But after that match at World War III was when he joined the Flock.
I'm sure we will eventually get there. I don't even remember how what we do on the show anymore, Travis. It's been a whole month. I've completely forgotten since the last time we did an episode.
It's been a whole month. Is that what you
got? Yeah, a whole month.
Is that what we're going with? A month?
You literally told me to pretend like time doesn't matter. And the fact that this show has been shot with me in three different locations in my house.
Irrelevant.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's been a month. That's what we're going to tell people.
But I mean, it's literally been like half a year since they've seen an episode, though. So it's like we can't really pretend there. Like,
let's do a spit or swallow. Fuck it, that's our thing. Great American Bash 1996. Spit or swallow.
Oh, I'm swallowing this, man. It feels good to see it again. Like, it's just, it made me happy. I told you, like, I love WCW, man. It's just it's jankiness is like fun for me. Like, the bad stuff that happens, if you're gonna do something bad, do it really bad. And when WCW is bad, oh, it's so bad. And it's funny to me when it gets that bad.
I'm not even spitting this, Travis. If I was pleasuring the cock that is WCW and that Great American Bash 1996 load came out, I would turn it to the side and let it shoot on the floor. But it's like, not even coming near my mouth.
But, like, the Rey Mysterio versus Dean Malenko.
one decent match among a
Benoit plethora. Versus the Taskmaster. You didn't like you don't like the Taskmaster, but you liked the match.
I liked the finish of the match.
They were fighting in the bathroom. In the men's restroom. And there's a woman in the men's restroom. Larry Zbyszko made it very clear that we needed to know that there was a woman in the men's restroom watching them fight. Which was funny to me because there were so many people in that bathroom.
Look at WCW being so progressive and having genderless bathrooms in 1996.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Look at that. Disco Inferno? Come on, man.
That load is shooting straight on the floor, Travis.
Oh, man. This is fun, though.
So what's the next pay-per-view?
Bash at the Beach.
So we're going to get
yeah
the infamous
yeah
six-man tag where Scott Hall, Kevin Nash go 2-on-3 before Hulk Hogan does what everyone thought Hulk Hogan would never do and turns heel.
Yeah, man.
And all of the controversy of the third man was going to be Sting and third man was going to be this person and third man was going to be that person and the third man was going to be Mabel. Yes. That I cannot wait to talk about.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. There was a rumor for a while that I was the third man. Little 9-year-old Travis. Everybody was the third man at some point. But I know they were going like the real thing, the real debate back and forth that was happening was it was either going to be Sting or Hogan. Like they said, it had to be one of those two.
Yeah.
That's the only way this would work. And it was just neither one of them really wanted to do it.
Well, Hogan was scared, you know?
I mean, yeah, he did one thing that it worked for over a decade. Why wouldn't you be scared too?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Got him movie deals and everything. Shitty movies, but got him the deals.
Oh, Blunder in Paradise. Is that not what they referred to it as?
Yeah, that's what they called it, Blunder in Paradise. Yeah.
I did enjoy that they let Scott Hall and Kevin Nash take the piss out of like their top guys.
Yeah.
And I mean, Thunder in Paradise was a WCW TNT deal, and they still let them talk shit about it. So I'll give them that.
Yeah. Not as good as Suburban Commando, though.
So I believe it was my old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 VHS,
mm-hmm.
Previews on the VHS. Suburban Commando was one of the previews on the VHS. So that will always be burnt into my mind.
Give it up, Dragus. Yeah, it's just. Yeah. Game? What game? Oh, man. Undertaker was in that movie. Like, it was just so weird. Anyway, yeah. That was the Great American Bash 96, Matt.
I hate you so much.
That's okay.
Like, I'm glad we're finally here and we're hopefully getting to a point to where we turn the corner, but like.
It's turning now. Because now it's still like, the so NWO's coming in. Yeah.
Bad shit.
The NWO's coming in now. The luchadors are going to start being more prominent. It's getting good. It's getting good now.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to me suffer through these 5 episodes at Travis's behest, because I know he has. This is pleasurable for Travis. I'm sure once we get off, he's probably going to go masturbate.
Oh, I am.
Yeah.
Vigorously.
In his indoor-outdoor pool.
Exactly. I'm going to climb in the pool, jizz in the water, no cleanup,
Like, I hate that the intro to the show is we're going to turn back the clocks to when sports entertainment was called professional wrestling. And then this is the shit that we're getting and talking about, because this is not professional wrestling.
It is professional wrestling.
No, this is sports entertainment.
Let me tell you that I forgot to mention it at the time, but in that Mongo and Kevin Green versus Rick and Arn match, Rick was doing his damnedest to make that shit entertaining. Like, Rick was putting it in work. Like, yeah. It was so great watching him. Like, oh, he's really trying. Bless your heart. But anyway, that was fun.
I agree. Well, for Sir Cuss-a-Lot Travis Pointer, I am the Warden Matt Ritter, and this has been your return to wrestling.
Peace.